This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Two games for the Sabres this weekend, both afternoon affairs, Saturday and Sunday. The Amerks, Marty, have three in three, including two home games tonight and Sunday. Amerks assistant coach Nathan Pates is with us. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks, Duffer.
It's a busy, busy weekend, and you're missing a few guys. Obviously, Kozak and Murray are up with the Sabres right now, but you feel like your group is maybe past this flu bug that's been going around?
I hope so, yeah. Metzer was the last one to get it, and Kozak got it when he was with Buffalo. So he, and it crushed Leo, too. I don't know if you guys saw, I couldn't coach in Laval. He couldn't leave his hotel room. So we're hoping that's passed, but it seemed like it's like every week somebody else was dropping. It wasn't like we had six or seven at one time. It was just one guy after the next. And there hasn't been anything since Matt, so hopefully that's the end of it.
Now, is this like, I mean, it's bad. You don't want anybody getting sick and missing players. But was that a chance for you to maybe take a look at other guys in different roles? And did it open some doors maybe to say, hey, I mean, there's a couple guys here that we can play in a situation if it presents itself in the playoffs or down the stretch at the end of the year?
Yeah, we're lucky. We have a lot of depth in both positions in forward and D. So we're fortunate that when guys went down, we were able to plug other guys in, and they did great. I think any good team that you're on, if you don't have depth, if you can't win with guys out, especially in the American League, you can lose players to call-ups, injuries, or you kind of get hit double two different ways. So the depth's extremely important, especially at this time of the year, and a lot of guys stepped up and played key roles.
Who stands out for you this year? We've obviously had Coach Leone on quite a few times here on Sabres Live, but would love to hear your insight on guys that have really stepped up and stood out.
Well, we've had a bunch of guys that have having really big seasons. Obviously, Metz and Klager are having big point years, but you look at Rathbone and Ryan Johnson, those two guys have been really solid for us. I think RJ has really taken a step as a pro this season and consistency in his game. And you know, the young guys, Novikov and Komarov, both have been excellent as well. So as a whole, our D core, we've been pretty fortunate, the consistency that they've brought throughout the years. And now you add Brännström into the mix, somebody with a real high-end talent. And I'd say his start's gone pretty well, considering he's got three goals in two games as a D-man.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But I want to tap in on the defense a little bit more, because Duffer and I have been looking at what's game one next year going to look like for the Buffalo Sabres. And obviously, they re-signed Jacob Bryson yesterday to a one-year deal. But there could be an opportunity for some of the guys that you're coaching right now to maybe, you know, show well in camp next year and get an opportunity to play in Buffalo. Who are those guys that the fans here going down to watch the games in Rochester and in the playoffs have to keep an eye on, and you think that if not next year, at some point in the near future, will be part of the blue line on the Sabres?
Well, I had mentioned Ryan Johnson. I think he's proven that he can do it night in, night out. Last year, he had a couple ups and downs, but you could see it was there. The potential was there. And this year, he's just taken this level of consistency and really turned into a dominant defender. He's an excellent skater, and he played a lot of games in Buffalo the majority of the season last year. Mm-hmm. So the up and down was difficult. He's been with us for most of the year, and I think he's really a guy that's proven that he's probably ready to make that next step. I think when you're a defenseman, you as a coach, you want somebody that's reliable and you know what you're getting every night. And I think he's turned into that player for us here. And I think he can do that at the next level too.
When you mentioned Coach Leone not being able to coach in those games in Laval, what was that like for you on the bench? And obviously for those who don't know, just a couple of excruciating heartbreaking losses there against Laval.
Yeah, those were tough. They just giving up those third period leads. And that rink, I don't know if you've been there, Duffer. It's for the American Hockey League, it's electric. It's got a real NHL feel. Sold out every game we played there. So you give them any kind of momentum, it's like the fans take over and you can kind of feel it on the bench. And I think it was a good learning experience, especially we might see them in the playoffs. That could be a big series that you have to kind of contain those emotions and not let the crowd and try to do too much. Because then you could tell their team feeds off it as well, too. So those were tough, especially the one with 40 seconds left. It was just a silly breakdown, and, you know, those things happen. But we've been good all season with third periods. It was kind of a little dip, something that we hadn't had trouble with. So it's good to get that stuff out of the way before playoffs because, you know, you want to fix those things earlier.
Pacher, let me ask you this. You talk about the rink in Laval. I believe it's dark there, too, a little bit. And anyway, when you watch it on TV, it has a little bit of a darker feel to it. But I used to love playing in Syracuse. I used to love playing in the old Hershey building. There were some buildings like this, like the old Cincinnati Gardens was awful but great at the same time. What's your favorite, like, road building? Now, obviously, you know, the Blue Cross Arena is fantastic, but what is your favorite road building?
I would have to say Laval. I don't think in our league anything really touches that atmosphere, especially when you add to the fact that they're sold out most games and the sound system, everything in it. It's
all the French
electric.
Speaking. It gets you going. It reminds you of like our nights out in the clubs in Montreal, Pacher. That's what's happening.
No, it's not. It's the hot dogs.
That too.
Well,
that's what I get excited about.
What's Cleveland like? Because obviously they play in an NBA arena and it's got, again, all the amenities, and they have done incredibly well attendance wise. So what, you know, comparably, what is it like?
Yeah, it's similar. Obviously it's an NBA facility and they have the big screen and they do very well. We were there for the teddy bear toss night and that was a bit of a gong show because they hit the back of the net and the fans just started throwing them. They're trying to tell them to stop throwing them. They didn't score. But they've done a great job. I remember when they were with San Jose, when I started, they'd have like, you could sit on the bench and count the fans in the stands. There was maybe 300-400, which is crazy to think now. They'll get 15,000 fans. Mm-hmm. So they've done a really good job. I don't know what they've changed with their marketing since they've gone to Columbus, and it's turned into a great place to play. And fortunately, we've done well there so far this season.
Yeah.
How do you manage like the 3-on-3 as a coach? Like it's hard for the players, but you get into a rhythm. Do you look at the ice time, like after the second period of game one, thinking, hey, we have to pull back on some guys? Like, is there a managed, like, expectation going into, like, 3-on-3?
Yeah, there. Especially it's going to be with their forward group going 7-on-11 tonight. There's going to have to be more managing on Leo's end of the things with 7D. You know, I got lots of bodies, so I'm not too concerned about anybody getting too much ice time. It's more making sure everybody gets enough ice time with that rotation. But it's probably a situation where we can't do that all weekend because you'll see some forwards. You know, you look at Noah Oslin, who plays both specialty teams first line, that, you know, you can't have him playing 22 minutes, three games in three nights. So it's definitely something we got to monitor and just see, hopefully keep the guys with fresh legs. And we've been good about giving days off. We just had a nice little break, so hopefully they're fresh going into this stretch.
Hey, collectively, as a coaching staff, what is the process and debate like when you get into shootouts this year? Because it doesn't appear like you have a set order, and you've certainly worked some defensemen in reasonably early in some of these shootouts too. So I'm just curious what the dialogue is like and the approach in it.
Well, what happened is we lost those two shootout games, and so we did a bunch of shootouts in practice. And you see the guys that went last game were the guys that were scoring in the practice shootouts, because we just have to, you know, it wasn't working, so we wanted a few different looks. And Jack Rathbone was electric in practice. He just scored every time, and we put him in, and he ended up scoring the game winner. So sometimes those things, you just got to find out. You never know who's going to be good in a shootout. It's not a normal hockey thing, and sometimes guys will surprise you. I remember I played in Grand Rapids, and Brennan Evans was big stay-at-home D-man. I think he had one goal on the season in like 2 years. Great player, but not a goal scorer, but he was excellent in the shootout. So it's just the weirdest thing. You just sometimes you got to look at it in practice and see if some guys have one or two moves that always work.
Do the coaches take part in the shootout in practice? I know Vinny wants to. He wants to go out there and show everybody that he can still do it. What's your move, Pacher?
Low blocker. You know, Marty, I get you every time.
Oh, no, I mean, the book has been, I used the book for like to start the fireplace. It's been burning. So
it's a bestseller.
A long time ago.
Pacer, thank you.
Yeah, I got one move. It's low blocker. If the goalie takes it, I'm done.
Yeah. Well, you got 3-3 this weekend. We really appreciate the time. Enjoy Bills Day on Sunday at Blue Cross. That should be an awful lot of fun. Good luck. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Good seeing you.
Bills Day, of course, you know, if you're in Rochester, this is a huge weekend. Team has been so good. We're rapidly winding down this regular season. And Amherst.com/Bills Day to find out more about this Sunday afternoon tilt with Utica in town, Marty. This is a huge weekend. They, after those two games against Laval and then being off for a little bit, you know, the Rocket have separated themselves. They're 7 points now up on the Amherst. But for you know, Nathan and you know, Vinny and Coach Leone, like, this is, especially with some of the guys up with the Sabres, right? Like, this is a really interesting time to kind of maximize the points where you can. But also, you could tell, like, they're already looking for how to be when the playoffs start.
Yeah, and I mean, the AHL is hard as a coach. Imagine the ECHL is even harder. Because when the NHL club calls people up, then you get the AHL club that brings, you know, players, and you're stuck with not having another farm system. Mm-hmm. So you are scrambling to put a roster together. So, but it is tough. But it gives an opportunity to a lot of players to respond and to play in different situation. And so that's why sometimes you have guys that are going to make really good AHL career. And now playing a career in the AHL, think of Jody Gage and those guys that have been so good in the AHL. Well, imagine if they were making the money they could make now, because the AHL is getting paid good money too now. So it's totally different. So, you get an opportunity. Maybe you're adding 3, 4, 5 years to your AHL career, and it works for you.
Absolutely. It's truly incredible just how many players have been able to, like, I always look at it like, well, what are you going to do in the real world compared to what you can be making in the American Hockey League? You know, like, it can't
compare. I mean, there's guys that make careers in the AHL making $400,000-$600,000 a year. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can play until you're like Cal O'Reilly played 1,000 games in the AHL. Like,
it almost never
happens.
Right.
And he's still making bank. No, he's not making $6 million a year like his brother is, but he's doing a lot better than a lot of other people, and that maybe didn't get the opportunity.
Yeah, it's cool. And obviously, best of luck to the Amherst this weekend, as they have Charlotte and they're in Syracuse on Saturday and then home to Utica on Sunday. We still have a ton to recap from the NHL last night and look ahead. We'll try to rapid fire that when we continue on Sabres Live after this.